Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IGO-INGO Protections Policy Development Process Working Group, call on Wednesday, 31st of October. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Wolfgang Kleinwachter, Chuck Gomes, Jing Bickoff, Sintra Shukinen, Wilson Abigaba, Stefan Hankins, Christopher Rassi, Catherine Gribben, Brett Fawcett, David Mayer. We have apologies from Avery Doria, Osvaldo Novoa, Jeff Newman, and Debbie Huge. From staff, we have Brian Beck, Barry Cobb, Margie Millam, Glenda Sangeri, Gisela Guberite, and myself, Julia Chavolin. I would like to remind you all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Brian Peck, and I'm with ICANN staff. And at least to get the meeting started, I'll go ahead and try to give some introductions until hopefully perhaps we can have a chair and other leaders as needed elected. The purpose of this meeting, just to clarify, and we apologize for any confusion in the invitation that went out, given the nature of the PDP and in the motion that was adopted by the Council earlier this month in Toronto, we're trying to get the PDP completed on an expedited basis. And so as a way of doing that, we thought it would be helpful to kind of merge the two steps of forming a drafting team first and then to come up with a charter and then form a working group after that and to try to merge the work of those two groups together for this initial call. As you may know, we have a GNSO Council meeting scheduled for November 15th, and the normal deadline for submitting any documents for approval would be November 7th, which basically is a week from today. And so ideally, if at all possible, and we'll see in the meeting today, we have a draft charter as a starting point for discussion. Ideally, if it possible, is if we could get this group to adopt or approve of a draft charter that can then be submitted for the 15th of Council, we can then, of course, move forward with the PDP process itself and then for the task at hand. So in terms of participating in this group, as I mentioned, it is with the goal of kind of merging the initial steps of the drafting team and the working group together. If you had the intention of only joining the drafting team, certainly would welcome your input on that, and of course you obviously have the option to drop out afterwards, but hope that you would continue your participation throughout the process. So with that, any questions on the scope of the purpose of today's meeting and or the initial work of this group?
Yes, this is Jim Bickoff.
Yes,
Brian, do members of the former drafting team on the IOCRC issue have to reapply at this point, or is the drafting team still in existence through the November 15th council meeting?
Sure. Thank you, Jim. That's a good question, and appreciate the opportunity to clarify that. The drafting team, the IOC, the current IOC Red Cross drafting team that has been working on the specific proposal for second-level protections of the first round on UTLDs is still in existence and will continue to be unless, one of the things that we thought could be open for discussion is the idea of merging the two groups or incorporating that drafting team group into this PDP working group. But that's up for discussion amongst the two teams. As it stands now, though, it remains as a separate group working on its specific issue, and will do so until decided further by the groups themselves. In terms of reapplying, as long as they remain a separate group, yes, technically you would have to reapply for this particular group. But again, that also could be worked out, certainly process-wise in terms of if it's agreed among the members involved to be incorporated or to merge, that's up to the two groups to decide.
So let me make sure I understand. So we should or should not reapply if our interest is in the IOCRC issue only?
If you want to participate in the work of this PDP, which would include the IOCRC issue beyond the second level of the first round, which is what the current drafting team is working on, then yes, you should reapply at this point.
So that would be for the second round and on?
That's correct. Yes, the drafting team that's currently in existence is specifically, its proposal is specifically dealing with providing protection of of the IOC and RC names at the second level of the first round, whether it be through a PDP or whether if a PDP cannot be completed in time through the temporary reservation of those names as in the current proposal that's out for public comment.
Okay, and how soon would we have to reapply? Any time, say, before November 15th?
Yes, I mean, you know, between now and when hopefully, again, ideally the working group charter would be ready for adoption by the GNSO Council at its 15th of November meeting, and then, of course, the working group would be formally established to start working on this PDP.
Thank you, Brian.
Sure, thank you. Chuck, do you have a question?
Just a comment, Brian, thanks.
Sure.
There's quite a bit of confusion in the community. Certainly there was in the registry stakeholder group in terms of the merging of the two tasks, by the way, which I fully support to expedite this. But I would suggest that after this call that another message go out to all the places where you sent the message about this, clarifying that the working group is for the PDP, and their first task will be the recommendation of a charter for the council to approve. Secondly, because of the confusion and because of the short notice on this meeting, you probably already know this, but I think it's going to be hard for us to approve a charter in this meeting. I think we're going to need a meeting a week from now, and everybody knows that's going to happen, that we might have a shot at doing that.
Okay. I certainly agree. I mean, I understand, Chuck, and agree with your sentiment that I think we would need at least one more meeting besides today. Give a chance for the people on the call today to take a look and digest of what's discussed over the draft charter. Also to give a chance to, you know, possibly revise it as necessary. And as you say, to also give other people who have already volunteered a chance to participate in the discussions as well. So certainly agree with that and appreciate your suggestions. Okay. We'll definitely send out a message after clarifying that as well. Chuck, thank you.
Brian, it's Alan Greenberg.
Sure. Hi, Alan.
Yeah. Two things. First of all, whoever's changing the speaker request to microphones should please stop doing that. It changes the speaking order and messes up the whole process. The substantive comment I have is in your previous answer, you implied that the work of this group, this working group for the Red Cross IOC, is only second batch or second round and later. That's not the case. The current recommendation from the IOC Red Cross drafting team is a temporary hold pending the results of this PDP, which would affect the first round also at whatever time it happened.
That is correct. I appreciate you clarifying that for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Wolfgang. You know, I have a more general question because, you know, I discovered that there is a pending conflict between the, you know, our understanding of the role of the PDP and the working group and the understanding of the role of this group in the GAC communique. So I think if you read the GAC communique, then there was a certain, they expressed, as I read it, so a surprise that such a working group and the PDP was decided, and then they say, okay, in their eyes, this is only for implementation. So that the impression from the GAC communique is that there is already a decision, and now the PDP should cover only implementation. My understanding also from the Toronto meeting is that nothing is decided, so that means we are still, you know, have to discuss whether we need a special legal study to get full understanding of the special role of a number of special organizations that we include not only in the governmental organizations but also in non-governmental organizations. So that means I just want to flag this, that we have here probably, you know, a problem, and we should, you know, take this into account if we move forward.
This is Jim Bykoff. I think Wolfgang is correct in the fact that there is a lot of confusion, because when I read some of the minutes from the meeting, I noticed that Steve Crocker stated during the GAC board meeting that it was not the board's intention that the PDP cover the IOC Red Cross issue. I may be somewhat mistaken, but I remember reading that, and so I think there is confusion both on the GAC position and also on the ICANN board position.
I do not ask for certain action. I just, you know, wanted to raise this issue and that we that all members or the potential members of the working group understand, you know, the environment in which we operate.
Okay, I think we see Alan has his hand up, and then Margie.
Yeah, which got changed to a microphone again. I don't think there's any confusion. I think there's a disagreement.
Okay, yeah.
the GAC believes that no further work was done. The board only asked for IOC, for the other IGOs to be looked at, and IOC, Red Cross, are not IGOs. That is not what the council decided. That's a disagreement, not a confusion. Now, if this working group ends up saying IOC and Red Cross should not have any protection, ICANN will be in an interesting position, but that's an outcome which we don't have yet.
Okay. Margie?
I just wanted to clarify at least what I understand from the staff perspective. This is Margie Milam. I think as I understand the board resolution, it was a temporary action until there was something else from, you know, the GNSO Council. And so there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And this PDP that is being kicked off wasn't kicked off as a result of the board request. It's the GNSO Council request that stemmed from, I think originally from some Mary Wong from the non-commercial stakeholder group. So, you know, whether the GAC, you know, disagrees with it is one thing, but there's, you know, at least from the staff perspective, you know, the issue report's clear. It's within the GNSO Council scope, and the GNSO Council asked for a PDP to include the Red Cross and IOC issues as well as the other IGO and certain INGOs. So, it sounds like there's just a confusion among various, you know, parts of the community.
All right, any other questions or points before we move on? Okay, just a basic housekeeping administrative matter. If you have not already, the volunteers in this group, which we do greatly appreciate your time and participation, do need to submit a statement of interest, and the link for that is on the in the notes on the left-hand side of the Adobe chat room there. And also can be found on our website. So we, again, ask if you are planning to volunteer and participate on this group, and if you haven't already, to please submit your statement of interest. The other would just be as a reminder that, that you know, as a working group in the PDP process, we're normally expected to operate under the principles of transparency and openness, so that all the mailing lists are publicly archived. The meetings are normally recorded, as you noted at the beginning of this meeting. And as I said, the statements of interest are required from the working group participants. So we appreciate your cooperation with that. The next thing we'd like to do, to the extent that's possible, is if we can see if the group can elect or choose a chair, and if necessary at this point, additional leadership positions. And so with that, do we have any volunteers or anyone that is interested in serving in such a role?
Any questions about the role?
Chuck, you have your hand raised?
I do, Brian. I'm not volunteering, but I think there are too many people missing from this call to select a chair today.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think an announcement out to the list would be good for volunteers or nominations or something like that, and hopefully that can happen in our next meeting. That's just
okay.
My own suggestion.
This is Jim Bykoff. I believe Chuck's correct that a lot of people are missing on this. The other thing is that when we received the notice for this first meeting, it came, I think, on Monday, and we've been, on the East Coast at least, we've been saddled with a major catastrophic hurricane that has closed offices for 2 days, and we're just getting back to normal now. So anybody on the East Coast, I think, probably has not had a chance to really review the charter work plan, et cetera, and I think we need some time to do that before I would think before it's discussed.
Okay, no, understood. I certainly appreciate the conditions that you mentioned, Jim, and Chuck, appreciate your suggestion as seconded by Jim there. So what we can do is when we send out the clarification notice after this meeting, we'll include a call for either volunteers or nominations for the position of chair of this working group and proceed along those lines. Okay. The next point, we wanted to try to at least introduce the members on this group to take a look at, as I mentioned, staff has prepared a initial draft working group charter to serve as a basis to initiate discussions, you know, certainly open to comment, input, revisions as the group seems fit, but again, just to start the discussions off. And so I thought we could quickly go through it and certainly be open to any questions or comments or initial reactions that people might have. You know, it's basically the standard format. You know, again, the emphasis or the purpose, the focus of this of the draft working group charter that we've put together was keeping in mind the request of the council when it adopted this motion to initiate this PDP is to try to conduct the business and complete the business of the PDP in an expedited manner. That being, you know, in practical terms, of having recommendations, any policy development recommendations that come out of this PDP process be ready or be completed in time for the Genesis Council to take action prior to the actual designation of any of the first batch of new GTLD strings, obviously with the concern in mind that if indeed this group does come up with any policy recommendations or developments for protections of any of these particular organization names for the second round, that they would be in place so that it could be implemented in time, as I say, for the designation of the first round of new GTLDs. And so that, with that in mind, is how we kind of proposed structuring the working group as we have in this charter here. Let me scroll down to that. Again, we proposed splitting this group, you know, being one large group, but having two subgroups to try to work on the two issues we see at hand from the adopted motion, you know, concurrently to try to get the work done as quickly as possible. The proposed subgroup A would be to develop at a minimum recommendations to protect the Red Cross and IOC names at the second level of the initial round of the new GTLDs, and that's to incorporate, as Alan clarified earlier, that the current drafting team recommendation is to you know, propose or develop policy recommendations for protecting the names of these two organizations at the second level of the new GTLDs, and you know, if absent any final PDP action that cannot be done in time, to have the temporary reservation of those names. So this group would be taking on the task of taking up the first recommendation of the current drafting team in working on developing policy recommendations, again, to protect the names of just these two organizations at the second level of the initial round of the new GTLDs. And this is in response to the board request in its motion last month in September to do so by the 31st of January next year. Subgroup V then would be responsible for developing policy recommendations for any special permanent protections for IGO and INGO names, including the Red Cross and IOC names, at the top and second level of all GTLDs. So obviously new GTLDs, but all existing GTLDs as well. And again, you know, these groups would be working concurrently to try to expedite the process in developing policy recommendations that they could be submitted to the council, in time for implementation of any designation of new GTLDs. So that was kind of our initial, overall structure of how we envision the PDP group could be effective in expeditedly carrying out these tasks, but certainly are open for suggestions or comments or any other input you might have. Alan?
Brian, the split into two separate parallel groups seems to be making the assumption that there is really no overlap in the two questions. Is that something that staff believes? That there are really things that can be handled independently without interactions, without some of the same footwork being done ahead of time, and that they're really and truly two separate issues? I'm not questioning that. I'm asking because the presumption that one can split and have work done in parallel seems to imply.
No, I think the staff views as well that the issues are obviously interrelated in terms of, for example, the current issue that what the focus is of the current drafting team is for the IOC and RC names is focused specifically in response to the board motion of September and looking at providing protection at least at the second level of the first round of new GTLDs once they're designated or going online. But obviously, any policy development recommendations that come out of that would play or have a bearing on what types of protections would be determined or recommended for future rounds as well as for existing GTLDs. So we agree that certainly the issues are related and the work of the two groups were related. We just thought that perhaps given the deadline that we have in terms of responding to the board motion, for the, again, specifically for the two organization names at the second level of the first round by January 31st next year, we thought, that one group could focus on that to, because obviously that's a much tighter timeline than, say, for example, a timeline that maybe envisions of having recommendations ready for implementation by early spring of next year. So it was more of a, I guess, sorry, it was probably a long way, Alan, I apologize, of answering that, yes, the issues are obviously related. We just thought in terms of process and getting something that has kind of a shorter time frame deadline, if you will, could be better facilitated by having kind of a subgroup working, focusing on that. But, certainly would encourage, kind of the intersection of the two discussions. And again, if the group feels that it'd be better to have one integrated group, we're certainly open to that. It's not because we felt that the issues are completely separate and should be dealt with in a vacuum of each other.
Brian, it's Jim Bykoff.
Sure.
Is subgroup B intended to be relating only to future rounds, second and future rounds?
I would say initially when we drafted this, yes. Although again, given as discussed earlier, you have the GATT communiques, now saying that perhaps or advising actually the board that in the case of IGO names that a list should be developed that is based on the criteria of being able to register domain names under the .int domain or GTLD, I should say. Excuse me. That's kind of an open question I think at this point.
The second thing I was going to ask is, when you refer to a board request or motion, are you talking about the board resolution?
Yes, the one I'm with regard to specifically the IOC and Red Cross names, for the second level of the first round of new GTLDs, that's in response to the adopted motion by the board in September, which basically requested the GNSO, if the policy work was not to be completed by the time of January 31st, to either provide advice on if there are any concerns, again, over stability, security of DNS, if special protections were to be extended. That's in response to that actual adopted motion by the board back in September.
Okay.
Okay. Might we have Chuck and Alan and Margie?
Okay. Thanks, Brian. I'm not opposed to the possibility of dividing into the two groups if we find that it increases our efficiency and ability to work quickly. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
there are, I think, some general things that the PDP working group is going to have to agree on. Of course, the most obvious ones are the charter and the work schedule. But also, the council has requested or at least suggested the possibility that some independent legal research be done, and that would be beneficial to both groups. So I guess my suggestion with regard to the charter, and I haven't tested this with the registry stakeholder group, and David Maher is going to be our primary representative in that regard, and he's on the call. So speak up, David, if you need to. But we will test it with him. But I wonder if the charter should be modified a little bit to make that suggestion as such a suggestion in terms of the way it could be organized if the working group decides that that's the most effective way to go, rather than kind of the charter right now, as I read it, says this is the way it's going to be done.
Okay. Thank you. Chuck, Alan?
Yeah, Chuck said pretty much what I was going to say, that splitting may be a decision that we want to take later. I actually wouldn't make it in the charter, because I think that's a decision the group is going to have to take. And certainly the work plan decision on what kind of external research to commission and perhaps review of that research are things that need to precede it. So I'm not 100% sure that dividing, you know, I'm sure at some point when we get close to the end, division is going to be up, going to be required. I'm not sure it's something that we understand well enough right now to make the decision on when that happens immediately, and certainly not put it in the charter, which essentially casts it in concrete. So I'd like to keep it more open-ended. I understand the staff desire to have this completed quickly, but quality also counts, and I think we don't understand the issues well enough to make those decisions today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Margie?
This is Margie. A couple points. I think when Brian answered Jim's question regarding whether this is only second round, I'm not sure that's 100% clear. I mean, theoretically, the working group could produce recommendations that are possible to implement before the first round is over. So, and I think what Brian was maybe focused on, and maybe Brian, you can clarify, was the IOC Red Cross as opposed to the broader issue, because the IOC Red Cross issues are essentially, you know, addressed in the applicant guidebook already, and would be if the council doesn't respond and by the 31st of January. So there'd be something that relates to the second level with respect to the first round. But so in other words, it's still possible, but you know, given the time frame, it's probably likely that the recommendations are more likely to affect later rounds. But I just wanted to, you know, at least clarify my perspective on that issue. And then on the separate issue with regard to the legal request, that was a discussion, but it hasn't been a formal request yet. And so, you know, and given the timing, if you want a response by January 31st, for example, you know, or before that, so the working groups can sort it out and evaluate it and understand it, we, you know, as staff, we need a formal request, and that hasn't been asked for yet. So that's something that, you know, perhaps, once we get the either through this working group or through the council, would like a formal, you know, request that we can take that to the legal team and get, you know, the information that the working group is looking for. Obviously, we've been socializing it internally, so it's not like this is going to be a surprise. But we do need the formal request.
This is Wolfgang. May I clarify the formal questions? I think my understanding from the Toronto meeting was there was a consensus that we need such a legal clarification. But how to start the process? That means who have to formulate what and to send it to whom? Is it the genus of council? Is it this drafting team, the working group, or will it be Jeff or, you know, Jonathan? Or, you know, who has to send what to whom?
I think from my perspective, a chair either of this group, which we don't have yet, or the council chair if we're not able to quickly decide who should be chair and get some sort of communication. But I think that's what we're looking for. I mean, it was a discussion item, but it wasn't a formal request. It doesn't need to be a motion, at the next meeting. It doesn't need to be that formal, but just some sort of email from either the working group chair or the council chair from Jonathan saying, given the discussions in Toronto, this is what we're looking for, and spell out exactly what's being sought, because that's the other part. I think when in the wrap-up meeting for the council members, we talked about asking for clarity on exactly what is looked for. I know there's the request to evaluate the legal basis for the IGO and the Red Cross protection, but there was also a mention from, I think, the registries that they wanted to also have a look at, the registry role. And so that's what we were looking for, is that clarification.
Okay, we should not lose time and start as quick as possible. And somebody has to push for this.
This is Chuck. I'd like to suggest that maybe the first action of this working group today is to make that formal request, regardless of whether we have a chair yet or not. Now, if that doesn't work, I suggest that Wolfgang, who's on the council, request that Jonathan, the new chair of the council, make that request formal if that's necessary. Like Wolfgang said, timeliness is really important, and I appreciate the fact that staff fully recognize that. That's why you're proceeding quickly like you are. So thanks for that. But and getting that kind of information in January is too late.
Okay, I fully support Chuck. Unfortunately, as I said earlier, I have to leave the conference call now. But if you decide that this would be the best way, then let me know via email, and I will send out the request to Jonathan tomorrow. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
So, everything we do is contingent upon getting that information. So, yeah, unfortunately, we probably need it in an unrealistically fast manner, but we need to avoid any delays in that work happening. The GAC obviously has an opinion that a PDP isn't even needed because international law is clear as a bell on the Red Cross and IOC. Others in the community aren't quite so clear on that, so it would be really helpful to us to get that advice if we can very quickly. So, again, I suggest that this group today, if there are no objections, initiate that request, and then Margie, you can. We need to obviously get you more information, and we need to do that.
Okay, I have Alan Greenberg and then David Mayer.
Yeah, thank you. I'm getting very confused. There seems to be a discussion going on now that this group is going to come to recommendations in time for the January 31st board deadline, and if so, you all have better time machines than I do, because that's not going to happen given the time frame we're looking at and the minimum requirements for any PDP. So my understanding was the request for additional legal research was on the longer-term issue, not to meet the short-term request, which I thought the drafting team was addressing with the recommendation. The draft recommendation is currently out for comment. So I think we're mixing the two things, and I'm getting a little bit confused. And with regard to asking for legal opinion right now, I'm not sure we know what the question is sufficiently well to go and request that I can spend probably several hundred thousand dollars or certainly a big chunk of money on a question that I'm not sure we've phrased yet. So I sounds like we're getting a little bit ahead of the game, unless I've missed something badly. Thank you.
This is Jim Bykov. I agree with Alan. I think it is a little confusing, especially given the fact that the rights that have been asserted by both the IOC and the Red Cross were the subject not only of a GAC opinion based on research, but also the letter from counsel ICANN counsel who went over this, and the letter that was released late with the redactions made it clear that counsel for ICANN had verified that no one else seemed to have these protections that were asserted. So I'm wondering whether you're going to have that research done over again, or whether is that the recommendation? And who's going to do it? Is it going to be counsel, or is it going to be counsel in every country, or is it going to be some international counsel? I mean, these are things that I think need to be discussed by a working group.
Okay. David Mayer?
This is David Maher.
Maher, I'm sorry. Excuse me, David. I'm sorry.
Okay. I agree with Alan and also with the last comment that I don't understand exactly what is being asked for in the way of legal research. If the research involves the whole concept of protection of trademarks under international treaties, this could take a year. It's an enormous task. I'm sufficiently familiar with these treaties to know that they vary in important respects. None of them cover every nation in the world. At least some of them do not apply in major nations that have an impact on the operations of the Internet. And I am not at all clear what we should be asking for at this point.
Okay. Chuck, you have your hand up as well?
Yes, I did. Thanks, Brian. First of all, in response to one of the things Alan said, I see no added value in assuming that we can't get anything done by the January 31st. I fully recognize that that may be what happens. We gain by assuming that. So I question that. Secondly, I don't think the question needs to be asked from the point of view of legal research is all that unclear. And there was a pretty good discussion on that in the council meetings in on the weekend in Toronto. Basically, it's this, in my understanding, which may be wrong, but it's my understanding. The GAC and the Red Cross and the IOC have maintained that the research has already been done, and the legal basis for protecting the Red Cross and IOC names shouldn't even be considered. It's done. It's handled by law. And if that's the case, then we don't even need to have any GNSO policy. They can just handle it through legal means. If that's not the case, and there are people in the community that have made pretty strong arguments that it's not that clear, IGOs in particular, then we need to know that. And we need, in terms of who should do it, obviously, it needs to be somebody different than has done it for the GAC or the ICANN staff. They were obviously pursuing an issue from the point of view of the Red Cross and the IOC, and they may be right. But it'd be really nice to hear an independent source confirming that or telling us that it's not quite that clear. Now, with regard to trademarks, David, this isn't about trademark protection. It's about protection for names of international organizations, and I think that's quite a bit different than protecting trademarks. And there are international treaties that deal with these organizations, but I'm certainly not an international law expert, not even a law expert, so I don't know who to believe. And it's going to be very hard to proceed on this PDP if we don't get clarity on that.
Chuck, it's Jim Bykoff again. Just one thing you left out, of course, was the fact that ICANN counsel, and we didn't know this while the drafting team was having our weekly meetings in the past, but that ICANN counsel had already verified that no other organization seemed to have this type of protection that was asserted by the two groups. I think that's an important piece because unless you discount ICANN...
Are you still there, Jim?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. But, I mean, that when we received that letter that had the redacted content showing that ICANN's counsel had studied this issue and had confirmed that no other organizations appear to have this protection, I thought that really was, again, an independent opinion that seemed to confirm what the GAC's position was.
No, I read this, Chuck, again. I read that too, Jim, and I respect that, okay? I'm not saying supporting one way or another, but there have been others in the community, and particularly from the IGO community, that question that advice. As a PDP, we need to look at all, in a PDP working group, we need to look at all sides, and that's what I'm suggesting. Let's do that. And we may find out that the ICANN general counsel's opinion was right on target. But there are those in the community, not me, that have questioned that. So shouldn't we look at that?
Well, I'm all I can say is the people that I've spoken to from IGOs have given me the impression that they're not challenging the IOC-RC protection, but they're saying that they also are entitled to protection based on the treaties that affect their organizations, not that we are not, that not that the IOC and RC are not entitled to protection, but that they additionally should have a protection.
Agreed, Jim. Chuck, I totally concur with you on that. But then that brings into the question, is the statement that the IOC and Red Cross are the only organizations that should have protection, is that a true statement? And maybe it's not, maybe it is, but we need to determine that.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't think that I can only speak for IOC. I don't think that we're saying that the IGOs are not entitled to protection. And I think the two questions, are not necessarily. I mean, the IOC and RC, I think, have established, in my mind, that they're entitled to protection. Whether the IGOs are or not is, I think, a question that needs to be looked at in more detail working group.
Yep. Point of order. It's Alan. We seem to be having the working group discussion now, somewhere in the middle of it.
Okay. Yeah, let me take care of a couple people that have their hands raised, and Alan, I'll get back to your point here in just a minute. So I have Margie and then David.
Well, as you can see, this is Margie, from the discussion, this is why we're asking for clarity on what the issue should be that gets looked into. I do recognize the concerns that everyone's raised about the timing of it and whether it would even, be available and early enough to deal with the January 31st deadline. I mean, that's certainly, something that the group should decide. Whether it is realistic to have that information available in order to respond to the board request. This just, explains why we wanted to kick off the process very quickly to start getting folks thinking about what the issues are so that we can get everything in order to meet some of these deadlines. And to clarify another thing, we talk about the working group and the drafting team. We, from a staff perspective, as Brian indicated, we've tried to essentially merge those. So it's not as, it's not the traditional process in the sense that, we only talk about charter and the drafting team, and then we only start working on the PDP issues until after the charter is approved because of the expedited nature and the operating procedures that the GNSO Council follows. There's flexibility there. So, there's nothing wrong with talking about those things. I think Alan mentioned that in the chat. You're all not comfortable in talking substance right now because the charter's not signed yet, but that's not a GNSO rule. It's just, really comfort level within the working group.
Okay. David?
I think that this group needs to make a decision before January 31st on the question of protection of the IOC and the Red Cross. And I don't think that calling it a legal decision is appropriate. I think it's going to be a policy decision because this group is not in a position to get enough legal advice within a reasonable time period about the legal effect of the various treaties that give protection, whether you call it trademark protection or anything else, to the IOC and the Red Cross. But we ought to focus first, I think, on getting the job done with the IOC and the Red Cross by January 31, and that the rest of the issues involving other IGOs are fundamentally policy issues. We can be informed as to the legal effect of various treaties, but we still have to make our own determination about policy, which is our job.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. I think, are there any questions or other input? Just to recap with regards to the working group charter itself, I had two suggestions, both I think with the same objective, but in terms of format. One would be is in structuring the VDP. One is to just either, you know, instead of saying shall, suggesting that a possible structuring of the PDB work group could be separating the two subgroups, or to leave that, to leave no suggestion and leave that up to the working group itself once the charter has been adopted. Is there a preference one way or the other? Leaving it in as a suggestion or leaving any sort of suggestions out at all and just leaving the objectives, which I think everyone agrees on. We have two. Basically, one is dealing with the IOC and Red Cross names in particular by the January 31st deadline. The other is the broader question of names for these organizations at both the top and second levels for all GTLDs.
This is David Maher. I think we can't make the decision today on the separation or non-separation of the two groups,
mm-hmm.
and we have to put that off until the next meeting or some subsequent meeting.
Sure. Well, I understand that. I guess my question would be, sorry, maybe it wasn't clear, is that, you know, do we leave this as a suggestion in the draft charter for people to review, or do we just take it out completely, leaving just the two primary objectives, which I think everyone agrees upon, and let the working group decide once the charter has been adopted? Should we still include as a possible suggestion for people to consider, or do we leave that out completely?
I think we should include it as a suggestion.
Okay.
I think it should be open to decision by the group.
Sure. Okay. Anybody else? Alan, you have your hand up.
No, I agree with that. I think it should be listed as a possible alternative, and the group can make the decision when and if as it deems appropriate.
Okay.
I see no harm, and probably it's a good thing to put it in.
Okay, thanks. All right. Any other questions or comments on the charter itself? And again, we'll send that out. We'll revise it accordingly and send that out again with the clarifications and a call for volunteers or nominations for a chair.
And do we have a deadline? This is Brett Fawcett. Do we have a deadline for responding and providing comments on the charter?
Well, thank you, Brett. I think that ties into the remaining time we had left, and that is to decide on a date and time for the next meeting of this group. And then, you know, we could accordingly set a deadline for any comments or input on the draft charter itself. Our suggestion again would be a week from today, which would also coincide with the deadline of submitting the charter in time for the November 15th council meeting. We would suggest around the same time, same day, or, you know, a week from today, if people have other suggestions, certainly open to that, but keeping in mind that indeed November 7th, a week from today, is the deadline to submit the any draft charter for adoption by the GNSO Council.
This is David Maher. I would suggest we schedule it a week from today.
Okay. Any other, anyone have any other suggestions? I mean, it would give a week's time, which then hopefully would give people enough time to review the charter and have any possible input or suggestions that we could then communicate in email prior to next Wednesday's meeting. Included with that, we also would request that you, and it's up on the screen right now, staff had also prepared a draft working group plan and timeline, again, keeping in mind some of the deadlines that we're facing on that. And again, just as open as a suggestion, but as a way to open up or basis as discussions, and again, to be taken into account with the charter. But if I don't hear any objections, then I think we can go ahead and schedule our next call for November 7th. And in between, hopefully, members of this that are on the call today, as well as other members that have volunteered, can have a chance to review the drafting, the working group charter with the revisions that have been suggested today.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is Stefan Hankins, ICRC. Red Cross. I can't open the so I can't put my hand up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make a couple of points. One of the points is, we're obviously we have a timeline element that we have discussed, which is the 31st of January deadline. I would like to clarify, in view of the November 15th council meeting, a little bit where we stand with regard to the moratorium, because it has been brought up. Of course, it has been underlined that it's distinct from the terms of the document we have before us. But I'm a little bit unclear now. What the decision is in regard to that. We feel in the Red Crescent team, of course, that this is highly important and that we shouldn't let go of that. So that is a first point. The second one is, it has been mentioned in the discussion today, that it is important to work and to clarify the legal questions. So I suppose that, of course, that will be the first issue for the working group and whatever subgroups are created, or whether the subgroups are created or not, to determine. But I think here, there might be work that can already be done. I think it's important to do that. I do want just to recall once more, that in our view, the issue of the Red Cross Red Crescent designations, only partly fits, and all of you have heard this before, but only partly fits the international organizations, intergovernmental organizations, and international non-governmental organization paradigm. That's not the primary reason why these designations are protected. They're not marks. They're protected as the designations of protective emblems and so on and so forth, and this has been highlighted many times before. So I think it is important that the questions be clearly outlined, and I would like to reiterate once more another point, which is, it is highly important that in the work of this working group, we do from the very outset make sure that we will treat the respective designations on their own merits. For the reasons that I've mentioned, I know that this has been mentioned a number of times before, but it is really of the essence of the issue. And maybe one last point is, obviously, we are, if the working group will be working towards the January 31st deadline. in regard to the Red Cross and IOC designations. But once again, that distinction between the issues which, you know, the initial, that the subgroup A was to look at and subgroup B is artificial, of course, because the legal grounds for the protection of the designations Red Cross, Red Crescent, obviously are not going to change by the 31st of January in the global public interest, which has been recognized by the board in the initial moratorium for first level names in the first round. In the first round, that public interest, of course, will continue, and will be carried, obviously, beyond the 31st January deadline, as it be. So these are my only remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. I have David and then Chuck.
I'd just like to respond to part of what was just said. I strongly believe that this working group is not competent to make legal decisions. If there is a law that can be enforced by some court that has jurisdiction over ICANN, that's a legal question that is out of our hands. We are a policy-making group under the GNSO, and we should restrict our work to the policy area and let the courts and the lawyers who are dealing with ICANN decide whether ICANN is subject to any legal obligation with respect to the IOC, the Red Cross, or any other international governmental organization, for that matter.
Chuck?
Totally agree with David on that one. In fact, that's why I was really hoping we could get some legal advice, if it's possible to get any, so that we know. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. With regard to the January 31st request that the board made, the drafting team has already made some recommendations that provide the council content for communication if the PDP is not done in time for the introduction of new GTLDs. And if the council accepts that recommendation from the drafting team, then they have what they need to communicate to the board on January 31st, regardless of where we're at in this working group.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Okay, we're coming up to the end of our scheduled time. As I said, we will send out a revised version of the working group draft charter, confirmation of the next scheduled call, which will be for next Wednesday at this time, although we will schedule it for 2 hours. A call for nominations and our volunteers for chair of this group, and again a clarification of what the initial objective is of this group, and that is to adopt a charter that can then be submitted to the GNSO Council for its 15th of November meeting, to the extent that's possible.
Brian, this is Chuck again.
Yes.
A quick question on the work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How come it starts off with charter drafting team number one and charter drafting team number two? That's not two separate teams, is it?
No, that was, I think, just
okay.
The number of meetings. Sorry about that, yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure.
Sure, okay. No, thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Any other questions or comments before we close? Okay, again, thank you very much. We really appreciate your volunteering to participate in this, we think, a very important group that obviously is a high-profile issue, and for the time that you dedicated to that, and we look forward to working with you. And we'll be in touch by email prior to the next scheduled call next Wednesday. So thank you very much, everyone, for your time.
Thanks, Brian, for chairing.
Oh, sure. Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.